We don't intend to make you sad on this Christmas Eve morning, but we hope we can use this time to remember those who are not necessarily having a very happy holiday season. And perhaps we can put our heads together to figure out how we can make 2014 a happier new year for the people in Wisconsin who don't have a home. We are going to talk about homelessness in Wisconsin this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, December 24th. On really cold mornings like this, I often think about the homeless people in my community, and I wonder how they are staying warm. Sometimes I've encountered homeless men sleeping in the stairwell of my parking garage. And it's not very warm there either, but it is some protection from below zero wind chills. Not everyone has a home to celebrate the holidays in, and a recent report says while the number of homeless people has declined in the past year across the nation, the number of homeless people here in Wisconsin has gone up. We'll talk about why and what we can do to help as individuals and as communities. What do you think are the main causes of homelessness? How do you react when you see a homeless person? What do you think is the best way to help someone who is homeless? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Tim Bach is board president of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, interim president and CEO of Pathfinders, a Milwaukee-based nonprofit organization that provides resources, housing, education, and employment support to runaway and homeless youth and young adults. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for being with us. Can you give us an idea of how widespread homelessness is in Wisconsin?
Well, let me start off by saying, Joy, that there are homeless individuals and families throughout the state of Wisconsin. And how to get a handle on the extent of homelessness and the reasons for homelessness is always a challenge for those of us who work with the homeless. Twice a year throughout the state, we do what is called a point in time, and that is our best effort to go onto the streets in communities throughout Wisconsin and try to engage with individuals who are, in fact, homeless, not only to find out what their needs are, but to get a more accurate representation or count of the number of homeless within each community, the trends in homelessness. Are we seeing some improvement with certain populations in terms of moving them from homelessness into supportive housing? And really to better understand how our services can support those who are homeless and move the state toward more effectively ending homelessness. So as I said, we do that twice a year. The most recent counts were conducted at the end of July of this year and prior to that in January. So we try to get a snapshot in terms of homelessness also by season, because we know there are sometimes differences between how individuals who are homeless may be able to be engaged with in January, given the climate and the weather here, as compared to July. And so based on all of that, our most recent counts show that across the state, roughly 6,000 individuals were actually able to be counted on that point in time, a 24-hour period. Now, what we also understand is that is generally a pretty significant underrepresentation of the actual extent of homelessness and the number of homeless individuals in all of our communities. So we do our best effort to try to document and get statistical information regarding the issue. But in Milwaukee, for example, the most recent count, we were able to engage with just under 1,500 individuals and family members who met the federal definition of homelessness through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. On the ground, based on our experiences, we think that number probably is half the actual number.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe, at least in Milwaukee, there's probably at least 3,000 individuals. And so similarly in communities across the state, the actual data and the counts generally underrepresent the extent of homelessness.
I can imagine it is very challenging to get an accurate count. we did see a report earlier this month that said that homelessness was down nationwide, but up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Do you know much about that report?
I have seen some of that data. That certainly seems to reflect what we have heard coming out of other states, but also what we've been seeing here in our own state. There's a number of potential reasons for that. I think certainly the fact that Wisconsin has lagged behind many other states across the country in job creation, the high rates of unemployment within particular populations, for example, African-American young men, the unemployment rate, at least in Milwaukee and similar urban communities, can be as high as 50% or more. And so one of the underlying causes of homelessness for many, many people, and certainly this is true for the folks in our state, is poverty. And poverty is hard to address if people remain unemployed and have little access to financial resources and benefits. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for them to maintain stable, safe, and permanent housing when financially they're just not in a position to be able to do that. So I think one of the reasons why we're seeing an increase in the state is, in fact, because of the poverty rate and the unemployment rate. There are, I believe, 1 in 4 children in the state of Wisconsin who still live below the poverty line. And so it's hard to address effectively how to end homelessness if we don't look at how to also get people employed and keep them employed.
Yeah. Well, Linda on Facebook says, why am I not surprised? All the cutbacks in the social safety net. There is no safety net for those in poverty. Tim?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think as we've tried to come up with strategies to help people become more independent and self-sufficient, sometimes what we refer to as the safety net has had some serious holes put in it. And as people fall through that, that's where we see them ending up on the streets and ending up in pretty desperate situations, especially when you think of this time of year. It is incredibly difficult to imagine how so many people can survive on the streets in our weather when it is this cold and it is this persistently cold. And it's really heart-wrenching to see individuals who are struggling just to survive.
Yeah, it is heart-wrenching. But sometimes I also wonder, I hear that we have, shelters in Madison, shelters in Milwaukee, resources for those who are homeless, at least to seek some shelter from the storm or the cold weather. Mm-hmm. And is it not enough? Why are some not seeking out those shelters? Do they not know about them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think what we're seeing in communities across the state is that shelter services, which are really emergency in their focus, they're the sort of the front line of resources that attempt to move people from homelessness and often homelessness on the streets into more permanent supportive housing. And they fill a really critical role in communities across our state. I think what's true in Milwaukee is probably true in other parts of our state as well, and that is that for quite some time now, our shelters have been at their maximum capacity in terms of the number of individuals that they can safely house. Shelters provide resources that can range anywhere from a single night up to perhaps 60 days, depending on the individual circumstances. And the greater the need, the more issues that are contributing to an individual or a family's homelessness, often the longer they'll need to stay in shelter to get some of those issues addressed properly to move them into what we call either transitional or hopefully more permanent supportive housing. So the greater the need, the longer individuals tend to have to stay in shelter, and therefore the longer that shelter is at its capacity. And so what we're seeing in many communities is increasing rates of people being turned away because there is no available space. This time of year, many of our shelters create a temporary answer to that, which is what we sometimes call overflow, and that is not necessarily a shelter bed, but at least a space within a shelter facility that an individual can get off the streets and warm up and sometimes just survive for the evening. Shelters, many faith-based organizations and churches and congregations will open up their doors in an effort to provide a warm, safe place for those who can't actually get into a shelter bed.
We are talking about homelessness in Wisconsin with Tim Bach, Board President of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your observations. What do you believe is the best way to help a homeless person? What, in your opinion, are some of the causes of homelessness? And what can we do to help? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'd also be interested if you're involved with an organization or a project to help the homeless, or if you have ever been or know someone who has been homeless. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We assume that the holiday season is a time of sharing with family and loved ones, but an increasing number of people have no homes or families to spend the holiday season with. We are talking about the current state of homelessness in Wisconsin and what we can do to help. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 21 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Christmas Eve morning, December the 24th. If you have a question for our guest expert, if you have a story to share, if you have a theory to share as to what causes homelessness and how we might help the homeless, 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Tim Bach, Board President of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, Interim President and CEO of Pathfinders, a Milwaukee-based nonprofit organization that provides resources, housing, education, and employment support to runaway and homeless youth and young adults. Mark on Facebook says, "Sorry, no comments from me on this topic. I don't know anything about homelessness in Wisconsin. I live up north." And then he goes on to say that this is just happening, for example, in big cities like Milwaukee, Tim Bach. Big cities, by the way, that have liberal leadership. What's a couple of issues here? Is homelessness exclusive to the big cities? Or do we see homelessness all over Wisconsin? And is there any way to say that this is because of a conservative or liberal policy?
As I mentioned earlier, Joy, homelessness exists in every community throughout our state. I think how readily it's apparent to others is another issue. And one of the challenges is I think many people have a certain image or stereotype of who a homeless individual is. And the vast majority of individuals and families who are, in fact, homeless do not fit that stereotype at all. And so what's true in Milwaukee, I think, is to varying degrees true across the communities throughout our state, is that there are many homeless individuals that do not appear to be homeless, that we may not understand are homeless or struggling with housing instability, and yet they exist. You know, I serve as president of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, which is a statewide network of providers who really have an intense focus on addressing the needs of adolescents and young adults who are homeless. And we understand, as a statewide network, the extent of homelessness just with that particular population and how widespread it is throughout the state. And our goal has always been to try to provide access to services and resources for young people regardless of where they come from, so that they don't feel compelled to have to come to one of the larger urban areas thinking that's the only place where services for the homeless or for runaway youth exist. similarly in the state, we have what's called continuums of care, and those are based within different geographic regions of the state, but cover the entire state of Wisconsin. And that's, again, an effort to coordinate services ranging from homelessness prevention to shelter to transitional to permanent supportive housing, recognizing, again, that there is a problem of homelessness in all communities. And I think that sort of speaks to it's not the causes of homelessness are not based in whether somebody is identifying as politically conservative or liberal, or what the dominant political sort of direction is within a particular community. We certainly have a diversity of communities in our state in terms of their politics, and homelessness tends to transcend politics in terms of it exists regardless of whether a particular community's leader is identified as Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's a very common misunderstanding, that homelessness exists only in major metropolitan areas.
Let's take a call from Tom in Alloway. Hello, Tom.
Yes. Can you hold just for 1 second? I'm sorry.
What do you got to do, Tom?
Okay, I have the faucet running.
Okay.
I wanted to say that I live in the metropolitan Green Bay area, and it's not a real big city, but I retired in 2010, and I went to work, volunteer work, at a soup kitchen and a food pantry here in Green Bay in a thrift store. It's at the 1500 block of University Avenue, and we give free food away to homeless people. What opened my eyes, though, so much to the magnitude of this problem is that when I was working, these people were all invisible. I didn't see them. I didn't know they existed. You're busy running around, you're busy with your career, you're busy with your families, you're busy with all these different things, and you don't see or notice these people. But I noticed when I was in the soup line, I'd see more and more people come. In the summertime, they would come soaking wet. And I asked them, why are you so wet? And they said, well, we have no place to sleep. We're homeless. We sleep outside in the rain. And it's a growing problem. And one thing I want to mention to your listeners is these are not dangerous people. There's an image out there that they think homeless people are drug addicts or they're alcoholics. They're dangerous. They're people I wouldn't want to associate with, but that is absolutely not the case. Some of these people became good friends of mine because I worked in this soup kitchen. And they're really, really decent, good, ordinary people, just like everybody else. It's one circumstance led to another, and for whatever reason, they ended up homeless. But it's a much, much bigger problem, I think, than people out there realize.
Thank you, Tom, for sharing that, and bless you for what you do. Well, a couple of things here, Tim, mm-hmm. that are the homeless invisible to many of us.
I think absolutely to many of us. We don't see them even though they may be right next to us. And I think Tom raises a number of good points. Certainly we understand, for those of us who are in this this field, understand the intersection between the loss of housing and the loss of access to other most basic needs like food. And so many individuals who are homeless are also well familiar to those meal programs and food pantries. And so, you know, we try to coordinate across those two systems of services to make sure that we are able to connect with individuals and try to meet their most basic of needs. You know, to Tom's other point in terms of people's fear or misperception of who the homeless are, I think that's a widespread misunderstanding or stereotype that somehow those who are homeless are homeless, in fact, because they are mentally unstable, they are drug users. And certainly there are those who are homeless who are struggling with mental health concerns or addiction issues. But that doesn't inherently make them dangerous or threatening to others. And I think that's an important point that Tom raises, that yeah. often our fear and misconceptions of who the homeless are can get in the way of our willingness to extend a hand and to try to provide assistance or support. The other I think important thing to bring up here is the misconception that, and I've heard this so many times, that, well, the answer to homelessness is people should just get a job. And the reality is, and this is evidenced across the country, that on average about 25% of those who are homeless and accessing emergency shelter services are in fact fully employed. They're not earning a living wage that is sufficient to allow them to obtain and sustain permanent safe housing, but they're employed nonetheless. And there are roughly 40 to 45% of people across the country who are homeless who have had some paid employment or some paid work that they've been able to obtain throughout the year that they were most recently homeless.
Yeah, let me hold you there because we have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next. And then we'll be back talking more about homelessness in Wisconsin and what we can do to help. We'll talk more about that after we check news. I'm Joy Cardine talking with our guest, Tim Bach, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the current state of homelessness in Wisconsin and what we can do to help. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, December 24th. We are talking with Tim Bach, Board President of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, Interim President and CEO of Pathfinders, a Milwaukee-based nonprofit organization that provides resources, housing, education, and employment support to runaway and homeless youth and young adults. And we welcome your questions, your own experiences. Are you involved with an organization or a project to help the homeless? Have you been or are you currently homeless? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we have a caller who is in the Milwaukee area. Her name for our purposes is Mary, and she is homeless. Good morning, Mary.
Hi. Definitely homeless. But I don't live in the Milwaukee area. I live outside the Milwaukee area in a small town.
Right. So tell us why are you homeless?
Well, I'm not making enough money with Social Security benefits, and the housing is there's not enough housing, and the housing is the low cost housing that I've applied for is a little bit too much for my Social Security amount, and so that's why I'm homeless.
Yeah, and what is it like, Mary? Tell us what your a typical day is like for you.
Oh wow. Well, I live in the car, and it's cold all the time, and I try to go to as many different places that are warm, like a McDonald's or a Walmart or a library, and I stay there a lot and, just hang out there and do whatever I can do.
Yeah, and how do people react to you?
Well, they don't know. I look like anyone else. I look like I'm using the library, and I'm looking up things on the computers there. I'm looking for places for help and making calls, and I just look like everyone else.
Right.
Bundled up.
What would help? Do you think? What would help you? What would help others like you who are homeless?
More shelters, more safety net type things, more places to go that were, like a small apartment that was affordable.
Yeah. Are you in your car right now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And all bundled up, or do you turn it on every once in a while to get some heat?
Yeah, I don't have it. I obviously can't run the car all the time, so I just have it on as much as I can. But then, like I say, there are times like today where it's really super cold, so you just go to, you go to a store or you go to wherever you can go, really, 24-hour store, somewhere where you can go and just kind of, relax.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, I don't know what else to ask.
Mary, my heart goes out to you, and I thank you for sharing your story, because I think it's a story that we hear time and again from so many people throughout the state as to how they're trying to survive in a situation that I think most of us couldn't imagine being able to get through. You know, Mary, you point out, you know, not only the need for basic safety net resources and more shelter beds for those who are in a housing crisis, but really one of the underlying causes of why we've seen so much homelessness in our communities, and that's the lack of affordable housing. And without that housing that is available and accessible to people, especially those who may have limited financial resources or may be on a disability payments, even though they have something available to them, if the housing doesn't exist in communities, where are individuals supposed to go? And they do end up in public areas and in their car. And any place that they can creatively try to come up with that will get them out of the cold and out of the streets, even for a short period of time. And that's no way for anyone in our community to be expected to live. And I think that speaks to sort of the moral issue here in terms of, in this country and in this state, how is it that we are still seeing millions of individuals who are left to fend for themselves?
What can I do, Tim Bach? What can an individual do to help if right now, you know, our heart goes out to Mary and others like her, especially around the holidays? What can we do?
Yeah. Let me start sort of big picture and then move a little bit more closer to home. I think it's important for folks to understand that across the country, communities have adopted their own individualized plans to end homelessness, and that is supported at the federal level in terms of all of the federal departments, the Department of Education, Department of Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development. They have come together and set some pretty assertive goals for how we need to move the needle in actually ending homelessness rather than simply managing homelessness. And communities like Milwaukee and like Madison and like Green Bay and like Rhinelander, all communities have adopted their own approach to trying to, with certain targets in mind, how do we really begin to end homelessness on a real and tangible level for people like Mary? And I think on a big scale, letting our elected officials in Washington know that addressing the needs of the homeless and ending homelessness needs to be a priority. Homeless providers across the state have really been struggling this year in particular because of actions that have been taken in Washington, largely due to federal funding cuts and sequestration. And so even though we're seeing the need increase, we're seeing the resources that are supposed to be meeting that need starting to dwindle. And that's an untenable situation. I think closer to home, most communities have some services and some resources that depend so greatly on the volunteer efforts of members of their community. So I think looking for where is the homeless service provider, where are the shelters, where are the meal programs and the food pantries, and if you can, to offer to help and to volunteer. Even if it's only a couple of hours a week, it can make a huge difference in improving the well-being and the lives of individuals and families who are homeless. And then finally, I think all of us as service providers, particularly this time of year, rely so much on the generosity of individuals in terms of donations of food and clothing, financial donations, to really help us have the resources needed to meet the increased demand in this particular season. That can be a very small but very important and tangible way that people in all of their communities across the state can get involved and to make a difference.
Mary, are you still with us?
Yes, I am listening.
Is there anything else that you would like us to know? Anything else you'd like us you would like to say?
Well, like I said, I do go to the library and I look up a lot of this stuff, but and I do a lot of searching for places online to help, but a lot of times I find that there a lot of the places are full, and you know they don't have any room, and just things like that. It's really hard to find help. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to get out of this situation as bad as I can tell you. I couldn't, you know, possibly tell you how bad I want to be out of it. But, you know, the funds just aren't there. And the housing just isn't there.
And are you going to be spending Christmas Day in your car, or do you have any friends or family that you can spend time with?
Well, I'll visit family for a couple days, and that'll take some of the, you know, that'll be really a welcome mm-hmm. thing. But you know, that's about it. You know, a couple days.
Well, I'm so grateful that you called in and shared your story with us. Because I think, Tim, it does also break some stereotypes that many of us have, that the homeless are mainly, you know, maybe men, or you know, even somebody who might have a drug or alcohol problem. And obviously that's not the case with Mary.
No, absolutely. And I think what we're seeing are the largest increases in the number of homeless individuals are occurring amongst adolescents and young adults, and among women, especially both single women and then women with families or small children, which again defy the stereotype that I think most of us are familiar with in terms of who is homeless and who isn't. You know, the other issue that I think that Mary touches upon is often individuals who are homeless will rely as best they can on the resources of families and friends, and we see a considerable amount of what we sometimes refer to as house hopping or couch surfing. And it's not a phenomenon that's specific only to adolescents and young adults. We see families with high levels of housing instability who are moving from relative to relative or place to place to spend short periods of time whenever possible with family or friends. And that jeopardizes everyone's housing, because often the space is not available. It may be against a particular individual's rental agreement. And we have seen time and again that individuals who have tried to help their family members or friends themselves get evicted because they've had too many people in their unit or in their apartment. And that just sort of perpetuates that cycle of homelessness. And we see multiple family members then also struggling with the loss of affordable housing.
Well, Mary, again, thank you so much for calling. We will continue to talk about homelessness in Wisconsin with Tim Bach, board president of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. And we're welcoming your questions for him and your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve morning. And we are talking about those who do not have a home for the holidays, talking about homelessness in Wisconsin. One report out recently said that homelessness numbers were declining across the nation, but not in the state of Wisconsin. Homeless numbers are up in Wisconsin. We're talking about why and what we can do to help. Our next caller is John in Rhinelander. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to make kind of an economic point about this. It's just better for the taxpayers to help people instead of waiting until they're desperate so that they're jailed or or have to go to an emergency room. It just makes more sense to have this economic stimulation of fixing up old places and getting people inside. It's just a better way to run the government, for one thing. Thanks.
Thank you very much, John. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the effects of homelessness on the rest of society. John saying some people who are homeless might end up in the emergency room or maybe committing a crime because of their circumstances. What about that, Tim?
Well, I think John brings up a really important point, and for many of us that seems to be grounded in some really good common sense, and that is it's better for individuals and it's better for communities to have individuals who are homeless or at risk of homelessness be provided the support they need so that wherever we can, we're preventing homelessness and where somebody becomes homeless, to move them quickly into permanent supportive housing. It's a wise investment in terms of limited resources. It is much not only more humane but less expensive to provide supportive services for somebody with housing instability than it is to have those same individuals show up, which is often the case, in emergency rooms or in the criminal justice system. And those are much more expensive systems per individual. And yet the reality is, as we see housing resources decline or diminish, we see an increase in the number of homeless individuals who end up incarcerated. We see communities really making homelessness a crime and locking people up simply because they are homeless and have nowhere to go, and they're charged with loitering or they're ticketed, and then they obviously can't pay their tickets, and those fines mount, and they end up incarcerated. Or they have unmet health needs, and they routinely end up in the emergency room not only to get those health needs addressed, but also to get off the streets and to be in a warm place temporarily. Mm-hmm. And that is not the best use of limited resources when it is much more cost-effective and, as I said, much more humane to have people be housed.
Well, in response to our Facebook comment earlier in the hour from the listener who lives in northern Wisconsin and claimed it was not a problem in northern Wisconsin, Tom in Rhinelander says, homelessness in northern Wisconsin does exist. Our small shelter in Rhinelander is often at capacity and turning people away. So Tom issues that report from Rhinelander. Well, I know that some communities are, working on trying to provide more housing. I know there are programs like Habitat for Humanity and other things along those lines, but seems to me that here in Madison, we're even building very small homes. I don't know if those are supposed to be just temporary, but are these mainly volunteer efforts to try to provide shelter for homeless, Tim?
Yeah, it's really, I think, it varies somewhat from community to community, but in many communities, it is a joint effort between individuals, nonprofit organizations, and local government. And I think that partnership is very important. I know here in Milwaukee, we have a very strong partnership between Milwaukee County, the city of Milwaukee, and local nonprofit providers, and then individuals who are committed to this issue and ending homelessness, who come together and try to bring to scale the creation of the needed number of permanent supportive housing units in our community. And that's really the long-term answer to ending homelessness, is providing the housing coupled with the supportive services that many individuals need to get them back on track and back on their feet in terms of their education, their employment, their access to needed benefits if, for example, they're disabled or they're a veteran, to really stabilize their situation. And the housing first approach is an important initiative, again, starting at the federal level and moving into each local community, where we recognize that we haven't done a particularly good job of, for some individuals, making sure that we help them from becoming homeless in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people who are one or two paychecks away from losing their housing and becoming homeless. And if we can provide support and resources, maybe that's energy assistance so they can pay their utility bill. Maybe it's some temporary support to get them stabilized financially. Maybe it's helping them make that month's rent where they had an unanticipated car repair and suddenly they don't have the rent money. If we can intervene and provide that assistance, we can often do a wonderful job of preventing them from becoming homeless and therefore entering the homeless service system in the first place.
We have a caller that I want to get in before we end the hour, which is in just a minute or so. Alex in Stoughton, I'm sorry, we're very short on time. Can you be brief with your story or question?
Absolutely, yes. I currently have a friend who's living with me who was homeless and was staying with me in between places. He now has got his own apartment but has elected not to move out and move into his apartment. And so we've been doing this throughout the hour. My question for Mr. Bach was, can you take us more inside the mind of the homeless and sort of what are their motivations and why, you know, would they make some decisions as opposed to other decisions?
Mm-hmm. Very, very short on time, Tim.
Yeah, it certainly varies from person to person. I wouldn't want to make too broad a generalization. I think for many people who have experienced homelessness, it can be very intimidating to imagine trying to move out on their own because of deep fears that will also be temporary and that they will reenter homelessness. You know, I think, you know, finding an apartment is the first step, but what's critical to maintaining that is, are they connected in the community to the resources they need to provide them the support to keep that apartment or keep that housing? So I think that combination of housing with services can make all the difference in terms of people not having chronic or reoccurring homelessness in their experience.
In just 15 seconds, a takeaway for our listeners, especially if they want to help the homeless?
I think the most important thing for people to remember is, as difficult and overwhelming as a problem that homelessness can feel and seem, it is within our capacity, within all of our communities, I believe, to actually end homelessness. And that sounds like a lofty goal, but I think it's very doable.
Thank you very much for being with us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.